House Republicans released a new tax plan this morning, the most sweeping rewrite of the tax code in decades. Henry Aaron is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution here to provide some analysis. Hank, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
Well, what stuck out to you the most from this new tax proposal?
Well, not a lot of surprises. One of the things that stood out was the presence of gimmicks. The budget resolution limits the amount of revenue that the tax bill can lose to $1.5 trillion. Just as an aside, cutting taxes at a time when the nation faces deficits that are projected to grow seems to be a little unusual, to put it mildly. But they have to stay within $1.5 billion.
Trillion,
they want to cut tax rates a great deal. So in order to do that, there are a variety of provisions that phase out or take effect only after a while. One example is that the estate tax, which is currently allows couples to have estates of about $11 million or more and have them not be taxed, that ceiling would go up to $22 million, which loses some revenue. But then late in the 10-year budget window, the tax begins to go away entirely. There's a provision that allows businesses to deduct all costs of purchase of equipment, but only for 5 or 6 years, and then the deductions come back again. Of course, it's likely that at that point, Congress would be under tremendous pressure to continue those provisions. That would lose more revenue, and there isn't room for that revenue loss within the budget window. There's a claim that the reduction in the number of tax brackets would simplify income tax filing. That really isn't true, because most of us simply look at a table in the tax forms or use something on a computer to calculate taxes. That doesn't simplify things really at all. There's an increase in the standard deduction, a very large increase. That would simplify tax filing because it would reduce the number of people who need to itemize.
And Hank, that $1.5 trillion revenue limit or revenue loss limit, as I understand it, that's a little bit procedural. That's what they need to do to make it so the Senate can pass this without a 60-vote majority. Do I have that right?
It's not the $1.5 trillion specifically. What is needed is that the Congress pass so-called budget resolution with instructions on what the committees are supposed to do in order to comply with that resolution. If the committees fail to comply with those instructions, then there can be one bill that is put before Congress that isn't subject to a filibuster. If they went over that amount, then the Democrats could filibuster in the Senate. That would mean 60 votes are necessary to pass it, and with 47 Democrats and one independent, that would be unlikely.
I want to key in on a couple other points. The mortgage interest deduction, it would be capped not for current homeowners, but for future home buyers. What kind of impact would that have?
Well, at $500,000, as opposed to the $1 million limit that applies under current law, more people would be subject to tax on would not be able to take a deduction for mortgage payments than the current limit imposes. That would have some effect on home prices at the high end of the home price scale. For the great majority of home buyers outside of the very high-priced areas on the coasts and in large cities, it probably wouldn't mean a whole lot in terms of the housing market. But if you're wealthy and you want to buy a big house, or you want to have two or three, that limit would bite.
And a lot of people have pointed out this mortgage interest deduction is supposed to help middle-class people buy houses, but a lot of the people who would be affected don't itemize, so they don't get to take advantage of that deduction. Is this something that disproportionately has helped people at the top end of the income spectrum?
Most itemizers in general are in the upper ranges of the income distribution. If you're down in the $50,000, $60,000 range, it's quite your gross income, it's quite likely you're going to take the standard deduction. So you need to get up to higher incomes with more deductions before it really you run into a lot of people itemizing.
We're talking to Henry Aaron from the Brookings Institution, looking at the House Republican tax plan revealed earlier today. And Hank, let's talk about the 401k changes had been floated by House Republicans, limiting how much people can contribute to their 401k retirement plans. It looks like those caps are not in this plan. Is that right?
There are no changes that I've seen announced for this tax plan with respect to 401ks. But it's important to recognize that the way that debate was reported was very misleading. Under the plan that was being floated, you still would be able to set aside the same amount of money in accounts that are tax-favored. You would have had to do it through so-called Roth IRAs, where you get the tax breaks later rather than right at the front end, rather than regular IRAs or 401ks, where you get to take the deduction right away. But mainly that was a gimmick, a device to get you to pay taxes earlier that you otherwise would have paid later. It wouldn't have imposed additional taxes over the life of a 401k or an IRA. It was just a way of getting money up front that you could use to pay to offset permanent reductions in other tax provisions.
Another question people have been watching for here involved state and local taxes and how people can claim them on their federal taxes. How did that end up shaking out here?
I think the deductions for income taxes go, the deductions for sales taxes go, and there's a limit on the amount of allowed property tax deductions, but most of those would still be permitted.
Now, you mentioned at the outset the deficit. We've got the annual deficit, a growing national debt. How do you see, from what you've seen of this plan so far, I'm sure people are still breaking it down, how do you see the overall impact on federal debt?
The answer to that question is it's like asking what one blade of a scissors can cut. You've got to look at what the impact of the tax this tax bill would be on the subsequent debate over how much we can afford to spend across the range of the federal government. By reducing revenues in a deficit situation, you increase the pressure to cut spending elsewhere. And the Republican majority has made crystal clear that it wants to cut spending a lot. So to know what the impact is going to be on the overall deficit, you need to see the expenditure side of their program, which they have been quite clear about. It calls for massive reductions in Medicaid, substantial reductions in Medicare, curtailments of other domestic spending, and still a sizable deficit would remain. So down the road, I would predict there would be very strong pressures to curtail Social Security, something that nobody has surfaced yet for public debate, but that, in my view, is a clear consequence of reducing the revenues available to support federal spending.
There is the supply-side argument that by cutting the taxes, lowering corporate taxes as well, we're going to generate an economic boost that will end up making up in revenues. The increased economic activity makes up in revenues what we lose in those percentages. How do you see that analysis?
I don't think economic analysis supports it, notwithstanding some assertions that have come out of the Council of Economic Advisers. We do know from history that there are conditions in which cutting taxes does spur growth and can go a long way toward that growth can go a long way toward paying for the tax cuts. But that occurs only when the economy is operating well below economic capacity, when we're in recessions, and the tax cuts spur demand so that we get back faster to something approaching full employment. Right now, we're at very close to full employment. There isn't room on additional labor supply, and there's no reason to think that businesses that are now sitting on trillions of dollars of cash that they can use to support investment are going to suddenly decide that it is worth spending those dollars because there's been a cut in future corporate tax rates.
We'll leave it there. Hank, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Henry Aaron is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He joined us for a look at the new federal tax plan from House Republicans.